This meeting is being recorded and are transcribed.
Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to call to order the Evaluation Committee meeting for RFP number GEN-212-0540-P1 for in-house pharmacy management services. It is 1:05 p.m. on Friday, November 5th, 2021. We are in room 430 of the Governmental Center Building, 115 South Andrews Avenue in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I am Christine Calhoun, the non-voting committee chair. Due to the necessary precautions related to social distancing, this meeting is accessible via Microsoft Teams conference by phone or computer. However, members of the Evaluation Committee and county employees required to attend this meeting at the direction of the Purchasing Division, they're physically present at this meeting. Perfect timing. Please make sure that all attendees' computer microphones or phones are muted. Recordings of this meeting will be available on the Purchasing Division website at www.brower.org/purchasing under the RLI RFQ repository. At this time, the Purchasing Division will make some introductory remarks about this project.
Ron Honick
is now joining.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Bernadette Green with the Broward County Purchasing Division. I would first like to introduce county staff, which is present today. Simone Knight, Project Manager, Connie Mangan, Purchasing Division, Fernando A., County Attorney's Office, Karen Gordon, County Attorney's Office, Ronald Honick, County Attorney's Office. Request for proposals, RFP number GEN-212-0540-P1 for in-house pharmacy management services was approved by the Board of County Commissioners on May 4, 2021, agenda item 48. At the time of the RFP advertising deadline, 2 p.m., July 7, 2021, there were two submittals. An initial evaluation meeting was held on Monday, October 18th. Both firms, Advanced Pharmaceutical Consultants and Jules Enterprise Group, Inc., DBA Inuco RX, were determined to be both responsive and responsible to the requirements of the RFP and have advanced to provide presentations to the Evaluation Committee, and they will be scored and ranked by the Evaluation Committee. This final evaluation meeting has been publicly noticed.
Thank you. We have a quorum present with David Kahn, Director, Human Resources Division, Finance and Administrative Services Department, Dr. Dale Fahey, Medical Director, Broward Addiction and Recovery Center Division, Human Services Department, Jorge Hernandez, Director, Business Administration Division, Port Everglades Department, Selena Saucedo, Assistant Director, Aviation Department, and Carol Pleskovich, Nursing Supervisor, Broward Addiction and Recovery Center Division, Human Services Department. It is the responsibility of the Evaluation Committee to review the vendor's submittals to ensure they are in compliance with the solicitation requirements and evaluate those submittals in order to make a recommendation to the County Commission to award a contract. Each Evaluation Committee member was recommended by the Director of Purchasing and subsequently appointed by the County Administrator to serve on this panel. The Evaluation Committee consists of staff members chosen for their breadth of experience, excellent judgment, and general interest in this subject matter. The committee's final recommendation represents a collective judgment drawn from a wide range of insightful and discerning perspectives. As the non-voting committee chair, it is my responsibility to maintain order at this meeting. Collectively, the Evaluation Committee members are charged with following the county's established committee procedures in their effort to select vendors which provide the services required that are in the best interest of the county. At the discretion of the board, the Evaluation Committee members may be requested to substantiate their recommendation and discuss their review of the submittals. Purpose of today's meeting is to hear presentations, score, and rank the firms that were determined to be both responsive and responsible to the requirements of the RFP. Virtual attendance will be recorded today in two ways. If logging in by computer, please send a chat message with the company name, and your title. If you're attending by phone only, please email the assigned purchasing agent using the subject EC meeting attendance. The cone of silence for this project has been in effect for the evaluation committee since July 14, 2021. The cone of silence remains in effect for all county commissioners and staff as stated in the cone of silence ordinance, which provides that potential vendors and their representatives are substantially restricted from communicating regarding this RFP with any county commissioner or commissioner staff, the county administrator, deputy and assistants to the county administrator and their respective support staff, or any person appointed by the county commission to evaluate or recommend selection in this RFP process. After the application of the cone of silence, excuse me, all inquiries regarding this RFP should be directed to the project manager, Simone Knight, or to the director of purchasing. The cone of silence terminates when the county commission or other awarding authority takes action which ends the solicitation. In accordance with the Broward County Procurement Code, Section 21.45.4, all committee members shall be free of conflicts of interest as provided by Part 3, Chapter 112 of the Florida Statutes as amended, and the Broward County Employee Code of Ethics as amended. The appointing authority shall not appoint a person to a committee whose service would create the appearance of a conflict of interest. The minutes from our October 18, 2021 initial evaluation meeting have been distributed to all evaluation committee members. Is there any discussion? May I have a motion to approve the minutes from the initial evaluation meeting?
I move that we approve the minutes from the initial evaluation meeting on October 8th, 2021.
October 18th.
October 18th, 2021.
Motion made by Selena Salcedo.
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Khan. All in favor say aye.
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 None opposed. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Purchasing Division.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. As was stated previously at the initial evaluation meeting, the RFP solicitation document requires proposers to state whether they accept Broward County's standard terms and conditions, or if they do not accept them, to define which contract provisions they cannot accept. All firms have stated that they agree to the county's standard terms and conditions without exception.
Thank you. At the initial evaluation meeting, after using a random list generator found at https://www.random.org/lists, the selected order of presentation was determined to be Jules Enterprise Group Incorporated DBA Anuco RX, and number two, Advanced Pharmaceutical Consultants Incorporated. These presentations will be limited to 15 minutes, followed by a question and answer period. At the conclusion of the question and answer period, the next presenter will have 10 minutes to set up. The timekeeper will be David Campbell. After all presentations, the chair may ask if any of the committee members or staff have anything else they'd like to discuss. The evaluation committee requested the following to be addressed within each of the vendors' presentations. The vendor's ability to have medication available, both generic and name brand. The vendor's ability to procure non-formulary medication. And thirdly, the vendor to discuss how they would procure medication during emergency times to ensure no interruption for the patients.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At this time, we'd like to go to the closed meeting session for the first presenter to begin setup and then presentation. This meeting link will remain open, but again, we'll be moving to the closed session and we'll advise the next presenter of when they should join the closed meeting. Thank you.
Is now exiting. Welcome to the Audio Conferencing Center. Please enter a conference ID followed by pound. If you're the meeting organizer, press star now. After the tone, please record your name and then press pound.
TC, room 430.
You are now joining the meeting.
You didn't join from there, correct?
Not from the personal computer now. Where did you have your
is David on there? Let's see, room 430.
Is now joining.
Karen Gordon.
Is now joining.
Ron Honeck.
Is now joining.
David, if you can begin presenting the county staff.
Yes, I'm letting them in right now.
If you can show the Excel.
Yes, I can.
No. Our microphones will pipe into that, and we'll see what's being shown to the vendors, or what the vendors are presenting to us.
I'm sorry.
David Campbell, that wasn't directed towards you. I was speaking to one of the committee members, David Kahn.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon, Anuko. So in a second, you'll be seeing the Excel sheet of Broward County attendees. If you can look at the participants list and confirm it's only your team and county staff, please advise if you have any questions on the attendees. Once you confirm, we can start the 10-minute setup time, and then you can begin your presentation. Okay. David, please share the Excel. Anuko, I believe you're on mute. I'm not sure if you're speaking to us or.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear us?
We can, or we are getting an echo.
Good afternoon. Can you hear us?
Yes, we can hear you. There's no echo now.
Selena, I think your microphone may be on. No? David Campbell, can you magnify that a little bit? Great.
Anuko, do you have any questions on the attendees?
Yes, Anuko, go right ahead.
Good afternoon. Can you guys hear us?
Yes. Can you confirm that you don't have any questions about that list of attendees that's being shown on the screen? We just want to make sure that other than county staff and your team, that's all.
There are a few we don't recognize.
Okay. Do you want to call them out and we'll help identify them?
There's Aron Honig.
Is that Barton staff?
Ron is with the county attorney's office?
He's in the 15th county attorney's office.
Okay, he's under the attendees list, that's fine.
Number 15, thank you. Other names?
There are some phone numbers here we don't recognize.
The phone number 7600 is the county attorney's office, and 9720 is the room we're in. The attendee on the 305,
okay.
If you could please identify yourself. 305-978.
That's mine. This is Ron Honick. I'm the same. I dialed in and I am viewing the stream through Teams.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I believe everyone else is on our team that we recognize. Thank you.
Okay, great. We'll start your 10-minute setup time. It's 1:22. So we will stop sharing. We'll just confirm, then you guys can begin presenting, and if you need to do any other audio tests.
Perfect. Thank you. At this time, we don't have access to share. Will you give us access to share?
Yep, one moment.
Sure, thanks. Dr.
Duma, you now have access to share.
Thank you.
We see your full screen of PowerPoint. If you want to switch it to slide mode. Anuko, you can do any other audio checks.
Okay, thank you. We're just loading up on our end. We have two individuals on our team that need to be let into the invite, please.
And what are their names?
Jack Burns and Jody Bott.
Okay, those that have been added.
Thank you.
Did you want to do any type of audio check for all of the members of your team during the setup period?
Yes. Dr. Scott, if you can go ahead and do an audio check while we're still setting up on the presentation piece.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you all hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
And your video was working as well, to the last speaker.
Thank you for confirming.
Anyone else?
Jody Bott, New Capsa Healthcare.
Thank you. Yes, here and can see. Confirm.
Jack Burns, New Capsa Healthcare.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Yes, can hear and see you.
Michael Molzon from Fusion Health.
Thank you, Mr. Molzon. Yes, can confirm. We can hear and see you. Mr. Florveris, we can hear you with an echo, but we cannot see you. If that was your intention to be seen, we cannot see you. There you are. Want to try that audio to just make sure we lost the echo? Mr. Yes. No, still have an echo.
Madam Chair, I would just like to say I don't have access for the recording on my end.
That's fine, David. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Can you guys hear me? This is Dr. Jules with the NUCO.
Yes, Dr. Jules, we can hear and we can see you.
Can you guys hear me? This is Dr. Jules doing an audio test.
Yes, Dr. Jules, we can hear you and we can see you. Question is, can you hear us? Dr. Jules, can you confirm you can hear us? Me? Can one of the team from ANUCO message Dr. Jules?
Yes, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can, and we can see you. Coming to almost the end of the 10-minute setup, so What we're seeing on the screen is, I believe, what you provided to us as a presentation. It's a Broward County BARC, and then the procurement number, oral presentation, November 5th, Inuco RX. We have 1 minute left for your setup. You let us know when you're ready.
Are you able to see our slides?
Yes, we are. We're ready when you are.
Okay. All right. Well, good afternoon. I am Dr. Gina Jules, founder and CEO of Inuco RX. Before we get started, I just wanted to tell you a little about myself. I'm a proud product of Broward County. I grew up and was raised here. I attended Walker Elementary, went to Sunrise Middle School, and graduated from Fort Lauderdale High School, the Flying Hills. I was then accepted into Florida A&M University School of Pharmacy, where I received my Doctorate of Pharmacy degree. I then completed a managed care residency focusing on clinical and pharmacy operations with a large managed care organization. Like most pharmacists, I started in the trenches at a local pharmacy, filling medications and counseling patients on medication management. And I worked my way up as chief pharmacy officer for a large medical vendor, overseeing a multi-million-dollar pharmacy budget. Those experiences taught me that there's more to pharmacy. That's why I started Inuco. To make that positive impact in the lives of those that we serve and to create a greater opportunity to result in a positive medication outcome. That reflects Inuco's vision to empower health through medication management. My passion is about caring and creating solutions with the focus that everyone we encounter is a person that matters. Now, our solutions are built on the pharmacy basics, which you'll learn about throughout the presentation. I embrace this opportunity, and over the next few slides, we'll demonstrate why Inuco should be the pharmacy vendor for the BARC facility. I'd like to present our amazing team. I know that we briefly did an intro, so we have Mr. Watson Forbes, our Chief Administrative Officer, Dr. Cedric Scott, she serves as our Regulatory and Compliance Specialist, Matilda O. Jordan, our Clinical Coordinator, our amazing partners Jody and Jack with CAPTA Health, and Michael Mozon with Fusion Health. Due to the allotted presentation time, everyone may not be able to speak, but will be available to answer questions. So Inuco is a pharmacy management and solutions company certified as a county business enterprise and small business enterprise in Broward County. We wanted to build and grow in our own backyard, giving back to the same county and communities that watched us grow and empowered us to build. Now, since our inception, we've built an exceptional record in providing quality, cost-effective pharmacy management and solutions in the healthcare industry. We are privately held and located right here in Sunrise, Florida. Our pharmacy bread solutions focus on optimizing pharmacy and medication management to improve outcomes and reduce costs. Now, these are some of our vendors and partners we work to provide pharmacy management and solutions. We have a shared commitment to provide our partners with high-value, quality solutions by offering safe, cost-effective, and efficient solutions. Now, through these partnerships, we have transformed expensive and ineffective pharmacy systems into efficient, accountable systems. Now, Inuco's corporate values are founded upon caring and accuracy. It's core to our culture. We have the depth and breadth of experience BARC can expect from us. So our corporate structure has been deliberately designed to emphasize clinical care. Our entire support structure from HR, pharmacy ops, IT, compliance, they all exist in support of providing the most appropriate, effective, and efficient clinical care. We have over 100 years of combined experiences in clinical pharmacy management and solutions. our advisory board, which are members on the Florida Board of Pharmacy, and VPs of pharmacy programs and strategy for health plans and health systems. They help us gain new insights and advice to solve problems. We know that accuracy and reliability are essential to providing pharmacy management and solutions to the bar facilities. Our goal is to create a model pharmacy system that ensures that every member on the BARC healthcare team is confident that the pharmacy program is accurate, accountable, cost-efficient, easily accessible, manageable, and exceeds industry standards. Our goal is to ensure the best possible health outcome and the most cost-effective treatment rather than simply filling medications with the cheapest pills. In building accountable systems in clinical settings, the basics, we focus on four primary components, which we believe are the core to successfully operating the BARC facility. And I'll tell you why and give you examples of our success. The first of the four is clinical staffing. Our clinical staff performs their responsibilities with a philosophy of zero tolerance for medication errors. Our mandatory CQI, which is the Continuous Quality Improvement Program, successfully eliminates many opportunities for error throughout the ordering filling process. By utilizing state-of-the-art automated dispensing and electronic scanning equipment, multiple internal check processes and protocols, issue resolution team meeting, and ongoing employee education. Our clinical staff will oversee the pharmacy operations, participate in pharmacy meetings, review and negotiate pharmacy contracts and rebates on behalf of the county, but most importantly, serve as a resource to the BARC facility. We've seen success in having access to staffing. The machines and processes alone cannot manage the pharmacy. So we know that with the right staff, the right time, the right location will result in positive clinical outcomes. So now the second component is IT. Through the integration between ECHO, the county's EHR system, the pharmacy management system, the automated dispensing machine, and the electronic medication administration records, we'll achieve a streamlined workflow. Now this implementation will streamline the medication management process by allowing the providers to order through the EHR, which sends the medication to the pharmacy management software for the pharmacist to review, then to the automated dispensing machine for dispensing, and finally to the electronic medication administration record for the nurses to administer the meds. Now this process is a comprehensive, online, fully paperless ordering, reporting, and reconciliation program. Fully paperless ordering, reporting, and recon program. Now, Fusion has the capability to establish an electronic interface. We supported Fusion Health with the implementation of the pharmacy management software for a couple of clients, such as the Florida Department of Corrections and the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. Now, technology is enabling the pharmacy to automate many of its processes to ensure that all medications are accounted for, accessible, and accurate throughout the BARC facility. We provided handouts in advance that highlights the functions of the pharmacy management software, the automated dispensing machine, and the electronic medication administration records. We'll be prepared to answer questions on those later. Now, the third component is inventory management. Dr. Fahy, this slide will answer your question on medication availability. Inventory management is an essential part of every successful pharmacy operation. The goal is to reduce costs and improve operational efficiency. Effective management of BARC pharmacy inventory takes teamwork and collective contribution, but the process and oversight are best managed by a point person. So we taught our staff the fundamentals of inventory management and coaching on the execution, keeping a clear goal in mind. So we'll utilize bulk purchasing. Buy in bulk when it makes sense. You don't have to be the biggest pharmacy to access the most favorable pricing. We'll ensure that the county has access to the same discount reserved for the largest institutional pharmacy through group purchasing organizations, such as the MCAP, and through pharmacy negotiated discounts and rebates. Our technicians will also keep track of our top dispensed medications and determine not only the frequency of which to order, but also the quantity. The second is par levels. Now, par levels are set to establish the minimum and maximum number of units of any given item that should be in inventory at one time. We'll focus on the working stock, bulk stock, and safety stock. Those are the three areas that we will work on establishing par levels. The third item is generic drug pricing. Now, our goal is to manage pharmaceutical costs with competitive generic drug pricing through purchasing and distribution programs to deliver the right generic drug at the right time, in the right amount, and in the right packaging. Now, our inventory management team actively monitors and tracks the availability of generic drugs. This process helps us alleviate and avoid potential generic shortages. And the last item, the formulary management. The primary purpose of the formulary is to encourage the use of safe, clinically appropriate, and cost-effective medication. Through our functioning pharmacy and therapeutics committee, we'll work with Dr. Fahey and his team to develop, manage, update, and administer the formulary. Now, the fourth component of the basic is pharmacy compliance. DARC is accredited through the Joint Commission and licensed by DCF, DEA, and the Board of Pharmacy. In a world of constantly changing regulations with frequent updates, pharmacy compliance is a crucial matter. Without a systemized method for tracking and maintaining can lead to serious consequences. Dr. Scott, our corporate regulatory and compliance pharmacist, will utilize his training and background as both a pharmacist and an attorney to ensure that all BARC pharmacy operations remain fully compliant with state and federal regulations, accrediting bodies, and professional standards. Watson Forgulis, our administrative contract manager, will be responsible for overseeing the contract to ensure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. So let's recap. Clinical staffing, IT, inventory management, and pharmacy compliance are the key to building accountable systems in clinical settings for the BARC facility. So here are a few additional clinical solutions you can expect from us. I'll highlight a few. Patient assistance program. We work with pharmaceutical manufacturers and caseworkers to access meds for our patients. We have coordination of medication conversion. This is implemented when a new medication or conversion from a brand to a generic medication becomes available. And 340B drug pricing. Dr. Frederick, one of our consultant pharmacists, is a dedicated 340B expert who has experience in 340B participation, eligibility, implementation, and HRSA audit. So we know BARC's vision is to instill hope through a comprehensive continuum of care that empowers individuals, families, and communities. We align ourselves with that vision. Therefore, our partnership extends beyond the walls of the BARC facility. We will do this through our community initiatives as a company and as individuals of the community. There were three questions asked, and if I didn't cover it during the presentation, I would like to highlight it now. Dr. Fahey, I believe you asked the first question. Again, going back to the basics, IT, inventory management, and staffing are key components. So our goal is to provide BARC medical staff with enough advanced information and data to make decisions and policies when medication availability becomes an issue. And this is through drug shortages, price escalations due to a limited manufacturer, or new therapeutic agents. On a regular basis, we'll provide a market analysis of current drug trends to ensure medications are available at the BARC facility. The second question, we encourage the use of the formulary. However, we understand in certain circumstances that non-formulary meds are needed. In those instances, we'll take advantage of the next day delivery from the distributor and utilize our local and backup pharmacies. Ms. Plexovich, I believe you asked the third question. We will contract with a network of pharmacies closest to the BARC facility to order same-day emergency and backordered medication. In addition, we'll provide a courier service to deliver the meds so staff won't have to leave the building. So as I close, I want to reemphasize that we are fully capable, qualified, and prepared to deliver services to the BARC facility. We have the experience and expertise to ensure a smooth and seamless transition. You heard our presentation today and have had an opportunity to review our RFP submission. The next step is for you to give us that opportunity to demonstrate that we are the best provider to lead BARC into the future of pharmacy management and solutions. On behalf of the UNICO team, I thank you and we look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Jules, and thank you to the UNICO team. Committee members, have the opportunity now to pose any questions you may have.
Yes, hi, it's Carol Pleskovich, nursing supervisor for BARC. I have a few questions to ask. If you can please tell us about some of the experiences that you've had during Joint Commission surveys. What type of presence did you have during the surveys? And what your responsibilities were at those times?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Pleskovich. With the Joint Commission surveys, is that our involvement is ongoing. So we know when Joint Commission comes in, they're reviewing, they literally follow you everywhere you go. And so with our pharmacists, they're right there watching to ensure that they're doing all of the pharmacist review and checkpoints to ensure that they're compliant. Meaning like, reviewing the prescriptions, ensuring that it's the right medication for the right patient. And in addition, we do mock audits, and that's part of our monthly pharmacy inspection when we do the chart reviews. So we know that chart reviews, JCO looks at right medication for the right dosage at the right time for the right patient. And so when we do our chart reviews, those help us stay in compliant and be ready for inspection at all times. So our experience when it comes to any survey, and that's including Joint Commission, whether it's the Board of Pharmacy, we always have mock audits when we're given notice that they're coming. We have mock audits. We coordinate during our P&T committee meeting, and that's when we utilize our PQI time to review med errors, to look at processes within the system to ensure that we're compliant.
Thank you. My next question would be more of a training issue for the nursing staff. What type of trainings, if any, have you provided in the past? And is that something that you do on an ongoing basis?
Okay. So with training, we offer trainings as a company, and also we have professional development programs with pharmaceutical companies that come into that we partner with. So the training, we believe in training. We believe in continuing education. So we also provide the staff with access to our database, like our LexiComp, which is the drug information, so that they can go ahead and access information as needed. And in addition, we partner with, again, the pharmaceutical companies, and then we have providers that come on site or clinicians that come on site to provide additional training for the staff. Now, in reference to our ABM training and our pharmacy software training, we have super users that we identify at the site, and that would be our pharmacists and our technicians, in addition to our corporate support and our partners with CAPSA and Fusion Health.
Okay, thank you for that. We had spoken earlier, or you had shared earlier, about my question regarding emergency operations when the county is under emergency situation. What type of coverage would you provide at BARC during a lockdown, let's say, for 3, 4, 5 days? Who knows how long it could possibly be?
So that's a great question, Ms. Pleskovich. So some of our clients are correctional clients, so we are very accustomed to lockdown. And we're in South Florida. We're accustomed to hurricanes and the natural disasters, and now a pandemic. And so what we've done is that, again, referencing our inventory management, our goal is to ensure that inventory is up to date and it's kept and it's well managed. So that will help eliminate the usage of the backup pharmacy. And the goal is to utilize what's in inventory, and again, that's through proper management, because the drug costs that we're purchasing from our distributor or through the GPOs, those are less expensive than going to your retail pharmacy, such as your Walgreens and your CVS. So obviously those meds that we are going to the backup pharmacy are truly for emergent purposes. But what we do is through our inventory management and with advanced notice, again, we had, you know, with the pandemic, and I can use this as an example last year, is that there were, you know, issues with shipping, individuals weren't able to come on site. And so what we did is that we adjusted our PAR levels, which is the inventory levels, for top meds that are the fast-track meds that were utilized at the facility. And through constant monitoring, again, as drugs became available or unavailable because of drug shortages or the manufacturers, sometimes now that we're finding limited manufacturers, so there's an escalation in pricing, we were able to make accommodations with alternatives, sitting with the medical director, reassessing the formulary to ensure that we have medications that were efficient, effective, and cost-effective for the facility. So, and again, we're in South Florida, so we know when there's a storm, we're prepping, and so with that notice, we are ensuring that our PAR levels are up to par, and that's including our working stock, our bulk stock, and a safety stock. And so, you know, once we get those levels, and then the backup pharmacy, which is your Walgreens and your Walmart, we also have a relationship with a closed-door pharmacy. They're located in Broward County because there are certain medications that you can't get at your retail pharmacy. So because of that relationship, we'll ensure that we have access to other partners to help us provide medications for our patients.
Thank you, Thad. Now, my last question is, if your system goes offline, if whether something happens with your system or you're unable to access our emails or our orders, what would be your, you know, how would you fix that situation to ensure that we
That's a great question.
How we don't have any disruption in services and medicating our patients?
That's a great question. So we're local. And the great thing, again, when we spoke about staffing, and staffing is to ensure that we have pharmacists and their technicians on site for each respective facility, because each facility differs. And so having those individuals, we have, you know, we're all still accustomed to faxing. And so those orders that the provider is bringing in could be faxed into the med room or the pharmacy area. Or, again, you know that emails is not a secured way of providing this information, so we would use a fax system. Now, in addition, the systems like the ABM machines are able to function offline. They are also cloud-based, and also with our pharmacy software, we do have remote electronic ordering, order processing and reviewing for our pharmacists, so they don't necessarily have to be on-site to access that data and to process the medication. So, again, accessing with on-site, again, the ABM machines, which has the functionality to work offline. Our pharmacy software system, where orders can still come via fax, and then our pharmacists can review. And also an electronic medication administration record. These are paper marks. We can still print the paper marks so that medications can be documented as they're being given to the patient.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is David Kahn.
Good afternoon.
Can you please confirm that your company will allow the county to perform annual or regular audits?
Yes.
And within your platform...
We work...
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I thought you had more. I didn't mean to cut you off. Within your platform, can you describe the county staff access to run de-identified reports?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, David. The county's ability to access...
Within your platform, can you describe the county staff access to run de-identified reports?
Yes, they should be able to have, yes. Michael, do you want to answer that?
Sure, thank you very much. Everybody hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's two ways we can do it. There's many ways we can run with the identified reports, as in certain people can get into the system on the back end, on the IT side. Now, the other option is, Dr. Jules and her team can have certain reports that are run on a certain basis, and those can be automatically generated and sent over to your team.
And pharmacy pricing changes almost daily. Are you willing to negotiate during the life of the contract?
Yes, we are. We understand that changes occur. We sat with our clients, and our goal, again, is truly to implement a program that is innovative, that is beneficial for the county and for the community. So, yes, we will be able to sit with the county and address those concerns as they arise.
Great. Last question for me. What is your process to allow for non-formulary medication?
Okay, that's a great question. So with our non-formulary, we truly encourage the providers to utilize the formulary, because the formulary is based on medications that are clinically appropriate, and they're also cost-effective. And so what we will do is work with Dr. Fahy and his team and come up with a non-formulary process. Whether what we've done with our clients in the past, it's a centralized process where anything that's a non-formulary, it would come to the pharmacist for review. We have an algorithm that we utilize to say, like, hey, have you exhausted all pharmacy options? And if it's something that's truly needed and there are no formulary alternatives, then at that point, we would go ahead and forward that over to Dr. Fahy or his representative to approve for approval. But again, we also have, David, is we run on a monthly basis through the pharmacy management software. We have the capability of running over 200 reports. So on a monthly basis, we look at our formulary expenditure versus our non-formulary expenditure. And that's the same for our usage, formulary versus our non-formulary usage. And then we look at the alternatives to see if there was something that was a formula alternative that could be used for that patient. So the process would include working with Dr. Fahy and his team and either identifying, we want a centralized process where the pharmacists are approving the non-formulary. And again, this is through algorithms. This is through ensuring that all formulary items have been exhausted, so that we can go ahead and move forward.
Thank you.
Mitty, any other questions for the new co-team?
Just two questions. Jorge Hernandez for the record. Would you please expand on your experience with obtaining wholesale pharmaceuticals as a member of a group purchasing organization?
Correct. So we've worked with a several group organizations such as Vizient, Premier, and MCAP. And so the goal is to and also you have outside of the group purchasing, because we can maximize savings through rebates and discounts offered strictly by the manufacturer. So we look at all of the resources available to the county to ensure we're maximizing. So we're not just focusing on the group purchasing organizations, although those are where we see maximum savings. However, we're looking at different platforms, such as the patient assistance programs. We've seen success with that, and also pharmaceutical programs. We've implemented pharmaceutical programs where we have a partnership with the pharmacy manufacturer, such as, I can use this as an example, we work with Gilead on obtaining HIV medications for one of our clients. And so individuals that had HIV, they were able to get certain medications from Gilead at no cost to the facility and no cost to the patient. And so we did the same thing with Narcan for the overdosing of narcotics. We've done it with flu vaccines, and we've even done it with several antipsychotics. So it's not just focusing on the group purchasing. Yes, we do see savings with that. However, we want to maximize the other opportunities where we can get free meds. And those free meds are partnering up with the pharmaceutical companies and accessing the patient assistance program.
Thank you. One more question. Can you please expand on your experience with reverse drug distribution?
So reverse distributors, excuse me, there are a few. There's like PharmaLink, and there's a company called RX Exchange that we've worked with for our clients. And so what we've done is that ensuring that the meds are properly disposed, because every time you utilize the reverse distributor, there's a cost associated with it. Certain medications, especially the narcotics, our consultant pharmacists, when they come on site, they can actually dispose of those according to the Board of Pharmacy and through those regulations. So our partnership is finding utilizing the reverse distributor that's most cost-effective. We find that RX Exchange is a more cost-effective reverse distributor than PharmaLink and some of the larger companies. They process it, they document it, especially for sending in any form of narcotics where the DEA is asking for documentation. We actually have a binder that we keep on site for the staff for any narcotics that have been disposed and destroyed, whether it's on site by the consultant pharmacist or by the reverse distributor. And what happens is when the DEA comes in, that is the folder that they will access. We find that it makes it easier for the staff. That way they're not rumbling and trying to gather information. But our experience with reverse distributor is to try to maximize our returns so that we can get credit. And so that's why we're very mindful, again, going back to the basics on our inventory management. We know that's key. We don't want to have too many items on the shelf, because if there's too many items on the shelf, guess what? Meds expire, therapy changes, and there's so many different other items that occur that could lead to money being wasted and money, you know, not being well spent. And so we're very mindful of what we're ordering, so that we're not returning items for destruction or for credit.
Thank you, Dr. Jules. I have no more questions, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other? Go ahead, Dr. Fahey.
No, I don't have a question at this time.
Thank you. Excuse me? Sorry, thank you. Dr. Jules, thank you to your team. That concludes the presentation as well as the question and answer period. You're welcome to and encouraged to join us back in the open meeting, and that's where the after the scoring takes place, we'll resume back to that side of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Purchasing Division, please invite the next vendor to the room. Good afternoon, Brian.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you. I believe we would be expecting one more from your team.
I'm having a hard time hearing. Did you say something?
Oh, yes, welcome. And I believe we're expecting one more, at least one more attendee from your team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tim. And then you're going to give me a link, right, to go to the...
Yes, David will begin.
Presentation?
Oh.
Session.
David Campbell, if you can begin presenting the county attendees.
Mr. Bolfer, what's being presented on the screen now is a list of the attendees at this meeting and phone numbers as well as names. And the purpose of that is for your firm to identify if you have any concerns with anyone that you don't recognize, or a phone number that you don't recognize other than county staff, because we want to ensure that for this portion of the closed meeting, it's only the county staff and the representatives from your firm. If you want to take a minute, David Campbell, if you can magnify that a little bit.
Yeah, let me look at it.
And then just let us know if you have any questions. We'll help to identify. This is not part of your 10-minute setup.
All right. Okay.
Mr. Campbell, can you magnify that Excel spreadsheet a little bit? Just let us know if you don't recognize any names or phone numbers. It will help.
It looks fine. Yeah, it looks fine.
Okay. So if you'd like to, Mr. Campbell, I think we'll turn the presentation over to you. You can do your, get your presentation ready. We'll do audio video checks. I can hear you, obviously, and I can see you right now, but you'll have 10 minutes from this
point
to do your setup, and you just let us know.
Are you able to see the presentation?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And you can hear me okay, correct?
Yes, we can hear you. I can no longer see you.
Right. I don't know how to do that with the...
that okay, no problem.
I don't know. I was just saying if Tim could join us, if he's able to figure it out. I don't know, that's all.
Okay. Well, you've got a few minutes yet. You want
all right.
To reach him offline or something?
Let's see if I can reach him quick.
Mr. Campbell, it looks like the other representative may be in the lobby, if you could let him admit him. No, there was somebody else up there a minute ago.
Okay, I believe he's in.
I just admitted him.
Great, thanks. If we can get an audio
check. Okay, great. Thank you. All right.
Do you want to audio check your other team member?
Hi, everybody. I'm Renner.
Thank you.
All good.
We good?
Yep.
Yes, I could hear you.
Thanks,
thank
everybody.
You.
I was hoping that you could see me at the same time, but maybe not. Should I go ahead and start, or?
If you want to, just take a minute. Just take another minute. If you want to try to work on the video, if you'd prefer. It's not necessary, though.
Are
there any other representatives you expect to join? Because we want to make sure that you would admit them. Okay.
For some reason, when I go to the video and try to put it on, it says if I have the presentation up, then it doesn't allow me to be on video.
So. Okay. All right. There. Now we have the presentation back.
You have it back, right?
Yes, we can see that again. Yes.
Okay.
You can just give us another minute.
Sure.
Mr. Bofor, we're ready when you are.
Okay, great. All right, so... All right, so we're, thank you very much for having us come today. My name is Brian Bofor. I'm the founder of Advanced Pharmaceutical Consultants. The presentation today is to respond to the Bark Inhouse Pharmacy Management Services bid, and I referenced the bid number there for you there. I'm not going to read everything on the slides because I think that I can kind of point out what the highlights are, but to give you a little bit of background of what we have been, what's happened over the years, I think it's important to do. First off, we're very, very pleased that you have selected us to be part of this presentation. We have a lot of passion for what we do, but we have a lot of passion for Bark. And we have a long history. I actually started with Bark in the year 2004. I worked as the consultant pharmacist for 10 years. During that time, I was kind of checks and balances for the vendor delivery pharmacy at the time. In the year 2014, that was when we came up with some other ideas. Deliveries weren't very consistent. Patients weren't getting their drugs on time. Even though we were monitoring that delivery pharmacy, there were just some areas that really couldn't be solved unless we had an on-site pharmacy concept. So in 2014, that's where we've developed and grown little by little from there. That's where we added all the technology. That's where we added the software. But we also added staff to actually care for the patients. And so we've gone through this whole process. We've also actually had a pharmacy at Boulder and then at the central location. We've taken away the Boulder location, and then we've been at the central. And so we're kind of back full circle again. As far as our company goes, you know, we're the premier leader, I believe, in pharmacy management for the behavioral health industry. There are many companies across the nation that do these type of things, but they don't just focus on behavioral health. We have a lot of expertise. Like I said, we have over 150 facilities, and our focus is only on this part of the market. And Bark, as an organization, is unique. We're not an easy organization to come up with the best solution. You need really talented people to figure out what's the best way to do things. Because your population is different, you have indigent patients, you have outpatients, you have, you know, a lot of unique needs that we've been able to adapt to for all these years. Tim, I have him on the call too because he's actually, it's kind of funny, we went to pharmacy school together a long time ago, I won't tell you when that was, at St. Louis, Missouri, and then we caught up with each other about 7 years ago. And then Tim came on board with our company at that time. And he's grown through the ranks. He's a regional manager. He's your regional manager. And he has a lot of expertise in this area. The expertise is far and beyond what I even can know these days. But he's an expert in NTP, OTP, OBOT, DEA, Joint Commission, CARF. He goes on and on. And he's become really the expert in our company for this. So I think that's been a valuable asset there. Just quickly, our vision, we want to be the leader in this area. We want to be the best that we can be. And I think you can do that if you focus just on this area. Our mission, obviously, we want to give our customers great service, but we really care a lot about the patients. We want to make sure patients are getting their drugs. We don't want patients to go home and then just relapse and come right back to the facility. We have a large focus that we have on that, and I think that's made us successful. The scope of services, these are taken right out of the proposal. And these are just highlighted. They're already in the proposal, but, you know, this, you know, just kind of reiterates some of the things. Technology needs, you know, we're able to do that. And what's happened here, we had, like, the med dispense system. We're going to now promote the OmniCell system. We have a new software system that I think will be a lot better. What we're trying to do is just up the level of technology from what we have right now. And we haven't really been able to do that without this bid process. The pharmacy software, we selected HCS because it does a lot of the capabilities you're looking for. It does med reconciliation, it does MARS, it gives you access to eForce, it does ePrescribe. And by having that program at both facilities, as many folks that want to access that system, you know, clinical professionals, they will be able to do that. Our pharmacy personnel, we've touched on that already. We talked about how we're kind of organized. The pharmacists we have there love their jobs there. They work hard every day. They show up every day. They want to do the best job that we can for you. The personnel duties, these are just right out of, again, the bid. These are things that we've all been doing all along. Things like surveys, inventory management, things like that. The consulting services, that's just an extension of what Tim's able to do. So let's go there. Am I slide switching? I hope so. I don't know. The next scope of service, these are some more added.
No, Brian, they're not moving. We're still on the main.
They're not?
From the introductions, nope.
Huh. Do you have a copy in front of you or no? It doesn't matter.
Yes, we do.
All right, so I don't know. All right, the scope of services.
We're on
now. I'm
going
to lose my train of thought. I'm sorry. All right, I'm just going to have to keep going. But basically, the scope of service, we also, you know, accurate profiles, things like that. Our trainings, we can do all sorts of training. We do the county trainings. We provide trainings ourselves, things like naloxone use, things like that. The bid also talks about hours and processing, that we will not have any problems processing all the times that you need. We think that it's best to have a pharmacy at each location because that's just the best way to do it. We already did it like that before. And we believe that one thing that's interesting is that the bid allocated a set number of hours per year at each site. And it seems to us that those hours may be more than what's needed. We weren't allowed to flex those hours in the bid, but I think there's some savings there just because we know how to staff it already. And that could be the consultant pharmacist hours, the hours at the Boover location, things like that. Performance measures and outcomes, those are just things that we measure on a daily basis, quality, CQI reports, timeliness, things like that. As far as the areas that you asked us to address, there were three areas. It mainly had to do with the ability for the vendor to have medications available, also non-formulary medications, emergency medications. Basically, we have a sound formulary there, and we will always have the medications available that are on the formulary. If we have to purchase medications, we're going to utilize the buying group, the MMCAP, and we're going to use drug wholesalers. We will always look for the least expensive medication that's quality medication, so that means generic and brand names. If there's a reason that we need to get a medication that's non-formulary, then we have a process to do that. We can have a backup pharmacy as one method, where we can go to a retail pharmacy, we can purchase the medication and get a smaller supply. We could actually purchase it from our wholesaler, but we would do that with approval from administration there. Or we could go to one of our sister facilities, and we have a lot of facilities in the area that we could possibly borrow medication from. And we have policies and procedures for all these things. As far as emergency medications, we have dealt with a lot of emergencies. But we have a process, primarily it's hurricanes here, but as you the hurricane approaches, what we try to do is we try to, we order things in advance. We like to have a 7-day supply of medications, things like that. Emergency access, the machines, we have ways to get into the machines if we have to, if we have a lack of power or something like that. As far as the staff, we have a very educated, smart staff. And I said, the staff, like I said, they're very pleased to work there. And we have weekend staff and day staff. And so we can rotate the staff so there's always somebody that's trained that can fill in if there's an issue like that. We have a high degree of staff retention. We try to optimize our staffing plan to the best we can. And we utilize regional managers who are also trained at the site. And we also have an HR partner. We use a leasing company so we can get best benefits for our employees, our Fortune 500 benefits. And that's how we can kind of retain our staff and keep them there. And the staff we've had there have been there quite some time, the ones there. As far as financial management, we have a management information system within our company where we keep a lot of data on the facilities and we compare against other like facilities. We keep data on cost per day, on medication errors, things like that, so that we can tell if a site is above or below kind of the benchmarks that we're setting. Technologically, this proposal is going to include all new state-of-the-art equipment. The automated dispensing machines, the software, one thing I think is important is that, you know, there's, everybody talks about the supply chain disruption. Everybody's talking about that. And there has been some of that with these machines, and it's caused some delays. We've been pretty lucky that we've been able to install them with 90 to 120 days. The nice thing is, though, we already have machines there. And so if there was any sort of delay or any delay, it's not like we would just lose all the machines and not have anything. We could transition, you know, smoothly into whatever the new technology is, which would be Omnicell in this case. As our drug cost per patient day, for there at Bark, you run a drug cost of about $6.31 per patient day. Our national average is between 6 and 8. That's an extremely low drug cost per day, taking into account all the different things that we provide. As far as our dedication, I wanted to bring up a few of the things about emergencies. Hurricanes, for the Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, for instance, it was our company that got a helicopter, put medications on there, and flew medications to a facility there. And that facility wasn't even our facility at the time. It was a sister facility of a larger company we worked for. Wildfires. In California, we've had hospitals that have had burnt down, actually. We had one that actually burnt down. And we've had a lot of close calls with the fires. And we had to quickly move and be able to move patients, move medications, and take care of these emergencies. And then, of course, there's the coronavirus. No one really saw it coming, but what it's done in our environment, it's really made us a lot busier because it's brought in a lot of mental issues, you know, mental health issues with patients. We see a lot more OCD. We see a lot more drug use. We see a lot more, you know, psychiatric type disorders. We see a lot more suicide. And so it's kind of fed into the whole thing. Luckily, we've been able to handle that. We've even made hand sanitizer in some cases. The point of this was just to let you know that I think that we can adapt well to any type of emergency. And that was one of the concerns or one of the points that you had brought up earlier. What are some important questions to ask about the whole thing? All right, references. You already seen some of our references that we put into the packet. But if you ask any of our clients, I think that you would find that they would all give a favorable response. Our marketing plan, there is really no marketing plan. It's all based on references, and we get referrals all the time. And that's how we get a lot of business. And it's through the many years of business that we've been in business that's occurred. Accountability. I mean, we're going to be here for you 24 hours a day, 365 days per year. We're on call. We're a very financially sound company. We're here for the long term. As I said, we're in our 27th year of doing business. And then that history, I just reiterate that we have a 14-year history with Bark. So I think you have a good idea what to expect. The only thing now is that we want to move to the next level. We would love to be a partner with you. And we would like to, you know, work on whatever issues you have, but really bring the technology to where it needs to be and offer the things that you've been looking for. We, and like I said, we're preferred. I think we're preferred by a lot. We do focus a lot on quality. We believe in training. We believe in performance evaluations where employees can actually get better at what they do. We are very fair and honest dealing type company. We're always honest about everything we do. I think that's important. And, you know, we have a lot of commitment and dedication to what we're going for. So basically, that's it. I don't know if you saw the whole presentation. Hopefully you heard what I said. But the rest is just contact numbers, and then I'm really pretty much ready to close the presentation, and then if there's any questions, that would be helpful. And we'd be open to that.
Thank you very much. Yes, to confirm, we were, right. Your slides were transitioning. We could follow. They were on the screen with the same
color
as you were speaking on. Thank you.
Oh, you were? Okay, good.
Yes, they were. So what we'll do now
Tim was,
is...
Tim was texting me saying he couldn't.
Yeah.
All right.
We could see them fine. The committee...
I didn't think I'd see him. I didn't mean...
He was making me nervous because he told me he couldn't see
him. Okay, Mr. Bulfer.
Right. Let me get...
Mr. Bulfer, the committee now is ready to pose some questions to your company. Committee members?
Okay. I was trying to take off the share thing so
good. Good afternoon, Tim and Brian. This is Dr. Foy. Question that I have, could you explain to the committee the process that you would utilize using EFORCE? And EFORCE is comparable to a PDMP. Can you explain the process how you will move this from facility to facility and how more staff could utilize the eForce process.
Let's see. I don't know if I totally got your whole question. Are you referring to the... Tim, do you understand exactly?
Would you like...
I couldn't totally hear the question.
You couldn't hear the question?
I wasn't sure. Yeah, I really don't think I heard the
question. Okay.
I couldn't hear the question at all.
All right, let me repeat myself. This is in reference to the eForce process, which is comparable to the PDMP. Can you explain how you would transition this from facility to facility and the benefit it would have to BARC?
Okay, so the software company that we're choosing to go with now is different than what we use now, and they're called HCS. The HCS product can be an all-inclusive electronic health record if you choose it to be. But if not, what we do, we would have a license at each facility. And that license is going to allow you to access the eForce system. And the eForce system, you can just, as long as you have credentials, you can get into the system. It can actually download the, you know, prescription monitoring profile. You can just download it. So it would be available at both, and there's no limit to the number of clinically acceptable people that can access that.
And I think the benefit of having that available at both locations is when you have patients, especially maybe being outpatient level care or residential where they might be going out, you'll be able to see whatever controlled substances that they have filled at any location. And with PDMP for eForce here in Florida, they've added many states. I'm not even sure how many states they actually are up to right now, but a significant number of states already added on there.
Thank you.
I mean, plus it's a requirement that you pull that data, that you look at that.
Thank you. I think, Dr. Foy, any other questions you might have?
I have no questions.
Thank you. Any other committee members?
I have no questions after working with them for 14 years.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David Kahn. Can you please confirm that your company will allow the county to perform annual audits?
Of course.
And within your platform, can you describe the county staff access to run de-identified reports?
The county staff access. I don't know, that would be, usually the pharmacy runs it for you, but you would want to have access to run the reports yourself?
I'm just asking, within your platform, is there a way for the county staff to access to run de-identified reports?
Yes, we can run reports that do not have patient information on them, yes.
Pharmacy pricing changes almost daily. Are you willing to negotiate during the life of the contract?
Are you talking about the price of the medications? Or are you talking about our services?
Price of the medications.
I mean, the pricing of the medication is going to be pretty much dictated by the Minnesota multi-state contract that you hold. And so, but as you say, those different items go on contract, different ones go off. So whenever we're placing our order, our staff are trained to always sort each medication and sort by cost to make sure that we're always getting the one that's the least expensive. That's how we kind of adapt to it on a continuous basis.
And my last question,
some people might put a barcode on a bin and just keep ordering that same medication, that same inventory NDC number. And we don't promote that because we know that the drugs change a lot. Sometimes we're, you know, hindered by what's available, but a lot of times you'll see different things that are, you'll see that they change quite often about the pricing and what's available. We're just trained to be able to do that. That's how we're able to keep the drug costs so low.
And my last question, what is your process to allow for a non-formulary medication?
All right, for a non-formulary medication, every doctor has the right to order a non-formulary medication. If the doctor chooses to order a non-formulary medication, we have a policy and procedure to do so. There's a form we fill out, the doctor requests it, and then what we'll do is we'll look where we can get it for the best price. If it's some drug that you might just use for a few days, we don't necessarily want to buy the whole bottle from the drug wholesaler, because then it's just going to sit on the shelf most likely, expire, and it's a money loser for us. What we then do is we usually have a backup retail pharmacy, and what we'll do is we'll reach out to them and we'll order a small quantity. But before we do any of that, we're always going to get approval from administration. Anything that's more than $100, we always like to go to administration to get it approved. But, you know, most likely the medical director, like Dr. Foy, is going to approve these non-formulary medications. He would be the one that would approve anything like that before we ordered it.
Great, thank you.
Jorge Hernandez, hello everybody. Your company said that this is straight from your proposal. APC has been provided the task of to operate patient assistant programs in other organizations. In this case, we have hired a patient assistant specialist to ensure this is properly handled. Can you speak to the challenges with operating a patient assistant program and why you consider hiring a patient assistant specialist is important? Also, is this a change from what you're doing today?
Not all facilities want us to do patient assistance, but I have had pharmacy in North Miami where they wanted assistance with filling out the paperwork and getting these patients on these patient assistance programs. What I found worked well there, in this case, instead of having somebody else in the organization do it, I hired a pharmacy technician. The pharmacy technician would meet with the patient, she would fill out the paperwork, and the process seemed to work pretty well. It's not an easy process, but if the patient's there long enough, a lot of it has to do with how long the patient's going to be there, or are they going to be seen afterwards that we can, you know, make this work. It takes some time to do so. But that's the example I was giving in the proposal, is that it seemed to work well and was kind of popular at this place in particular. We don't really do that at BARP at this time, though. Is that correct, Tim? Is there any type of samples or anything to do with that right now?
We have no sample programs at this time for BARP at this moment. I think while Invega free trial, but most patients aren't here long enough at that facility to do it.
Okay, thank you for your answers. That's all I have, Madam Chair.
Thank you. It doesn't appear the committee have any other questions. So thank you very much, Mr. Bofer, and to your team, APC. We welcome you to join
thank
us
you.
Back in the open portion of the meeting. This concludes the questions and answers period, so we're going to finish in the closed portion, and the committee will move to scoring. So we welcome you to join us in that other meeting link, and then we'll announce from there. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Ron Hammack.
Is now exiting.
Yep.
Welcome to the Audio Conferencing Center. Please enter a conference ID followed by pound.
If you're the meeting organizer, press star now.
After the tone, please record your name and then press pound.
GC 430.
You are now joining the meeting. Please. This meeting is being recorded and or transcribed.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us. The evaluation committee will now complete the scoring of the firms. I'd like to first, though, call on the purchasing division to provide some comments on the score sheets.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, the score sheets have been distributed to each of the evaluation committee members. The score sheets do not include the points awarded for price, which is a formula base and has been calculated by purchasing. The points awarded for price will be added to each committee member's scoring sheet by purchasing in order to arrive at the total score for each firm.
Thank you. Committee, if you'd like to start your scoring.
Is now joining. is now joining.
You can email the score sheet to Connie Mangan and Bernadette Green. Bernadette is B.E. Green. Good afternoon, everyone. The committee has completed their scoring and the score sheets have been turned in. We will now take a recess. The time is 2:56 p.m. We're in a recess. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to reconvene the meeting. It's 3:07 p.m. I'd like to first thank both of the firms for their proposals, today's presentation, and as well their attention to the committee members' questions today. Purchasing, would you please announce the scores?
Madam Chair, I would first like to announce the points that were calculated for price for each firm. I will then read each committee member's total score with the points for price added in. When I have completed reading all the scores, I will indicate the highest score and scored and number one ranked firm, followed by the ranked firms in sequence from high to low. Points for pricing for Advanced Pharmaceutical Consultants, 20 points. Points for pricing for Jules Enterprise Group, Inc., DBA Anuco RX, 7.48 points. Okay, now to announce the scores for each committee member. Okay, Advanced Pharma, for David Kahn, we have Advanced Pharmaceutical, 93 points. Jules Enterprise Group, Inc., DBA Anuco RX, 86.48 points. For Dr. Dale Foy, Advanced Pharmaceutical Consultants, 96 points. Jules Enterprise Group, Inc., DBA Anuco RX, 73.48 points. For George Hernandez, Advanced Pharmaceutical Consultants, 95 points. For Jules Enterprise Group, DBA Anuco RX, 80.48 points. For Celino Salcedo, Advanced Pharmaceutical Consultants, 84 points. For Jules Enterprise Group, Inc., DBA Anuco RX, 79.48 points. For Carol Peskovich, for Advanced Pharmaceuticals, Inc., 92 points. For Jules Enterprise Group, Inc., DBA Anuco RX, 64.48 points. which gives a total of 460 points for Vance Pharmaceutical Consultants, Inc., and 384.4 points for Jules Enterprise Group, Inc., DBA NucleRx. So in ranking, it would be number one, Advanced Pharmaceutical Consultants, Inc., number two, Jules Enterprise Group, Inc., DBA NucleRx.
Thank you. May I have a motion to accept the evaluation committee scores and have purchasing submit the proposed recommendation of ranking to the Board of County Commissioners?
I make the motion.
Second.
Thank you.
To clarify, Mr. Khan made the motion, and it was seconded by Mr. Jorge Hernandez.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. The evaluation committee recommendation will be posted for 3 days as a proposed recommendation of ranking. Following this 3-day period, if no objections to the proposed ranking have been received in writing by the Director of Purchasing, a final recommendation of ranking will then be posted and presented to the Board for approval. At the discretion of the Board, presentations to the Board of County Commissioners by the ranked firms may be required. Information and documents reviewed by evaluation committee members as part of the evaluation process are posted for general review on the Purchasing Division website located at the RFP RLI Supporting Documents Repository. The recommendation of ranking is posted on the Purchasing Division website under the heading Solicitation Recommendation/Recommendation of Ranking. We estimate the final agreement will come either to the Board or the Director of Purchasing for approval and execution within 45 days from the final approval of the ranking. Is there any other business that needs to be discussed? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned. The time is 3:11 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is now exited.
Thank you, vendors, for your presentations and proposals.
Is now exiting. Is now exiting.
Karen,
this meeting is no longer being recorded or transcribed.
Thank you.